Blog Talk Radio.
That we need. We need to study it first, primarily, as we do, going into the book of the Old Testaments, and to get a grasp on the Most High from a bird's eye view, and to look at it from his point of view. And to not only to look at it from his point of view, how to interact with him or how not to, and with one another, and with strangers, meaning different nations. And so that's why we get together during these study sessions, to get a bird's eye view. But before we get started, I want to make an announcement. One of the fellow lead students, now you know there's two. There's me, Yamsuf Arif, and there's Cartier from New York City. He won't be with us tonight because he has some private matters that he had to attend to. So I will make an effort on my own to do the best I can with what I have. As they said, the show must go on, and certainly that will be the case tonight. But before we get started in these studies, you know, I always like to make comments on contemporary subject matters, ongoing, whether they are international in scope or national, maybe in a local sometime. You know, as far as what's going on in Israel is concerned, they're trying to get a ceasefire, you know, and as far as what is going on in Palestine and Israel. That would be a nice thing if they do so. But from what I found out, and I could be wrong, it all started out when Israel was trying to, the people in Israel, was trying to oust the Palestinian who had been in Jerusalem for 80-something years. They were trying to evict them. That jumped it all off. So that would be a nice thing to stop this stuff because of the fact when you have children dying who are not participants in ongoing subject matter on either side of the fence, it's not a good thing. Just bombing indiscriminately on either side of the fence is not a good thing. And Palestinian lives do matter too, truth be told. Also, seems like his number popped up. I thought Cartrell was going to be gone. Maybe he's coming on tonight. I don't know. But I'm going to turn his mic on as soon as I get done with my contemporary subject matters. As far as this confusion, as far as masks are concerned, it leads me to believe that they don't know what they're really doing. Some said, don't wear masks. Some said, I'm going to wear masks till I'm tired of wearing it. You know, I'm going to wear masks to the end of this year and maybe into next. Because, see, this is your life. You know, there was a show once upon a time, this is your life. But seriously, this is your life. And you have to do the best you can to protect yourself. So don't buy into the okey-doke and take your mask off and there'll be a resurgence of what is going on because they really don't know what they're doing, truth be told. By the evidence, and the evidence seems to be quite clear. And one more thing I had to talk about before we get started. I have two more things. Matt Gaetz, the congressman out of Florida, the fellow that got into it with him, was part of his crew, the sex pervert crew, pleaded guilty. Green in Florida pleaded guilty to having sex with a minor and several other matters. That's the most important one, far as I'm concerned, having sex with a minor. And him and Matt Gaetz were part of the sex pervert group. And it seems to be they may be after him next. That's a good thing if they get him. And also, Daddy Staples, the father of the Staples singers, used to sing back in the day quite lovely music, has passed away. I thought Dad Purvis Staples was already gone, but come to find out he was still living. And he has just passed away today. We're going to play a song of dedication at the end of the show to them for Daddy Perk, Purvis Staples, Daddy Staples. So I'm going to bring Cottrell on, seeing like he's on, and see if they have any commentaries before we get started in our study, okay? Cottrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yom Sufari, may the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. I thought you were going to be out, brother. I made an announcement.
I thought so, too.
You had personal business you had to attend to. Okay, well.
Yeah, but it ended quick, so.
Okay, it's good to have you. Good to have you back then. Do you have any? What's that, Cartel?
I ain't got too much commentary.
Okay, good. Okay.
I'm just settling in. But you mentioned these perverts, and
right.
I was reading the article today that, the way people deal with children worldwide is horrible. I read an article in Uganda where they practice witchcraft and they practice child sacrifice.
Oh, man.
And it's kind of disturbing. People don't have regard for, life. Why would you ruin young women's life? Matt Gaetz, you're a congressman. You got everything going for you. And in your position of power, you're going to use that power to ruin a young person's life.
Exactly. And you're right, Cartrell. I wrote something on Boo's book several days ago in reference to sex trafficking, women, and especially children. That it was despicable and something to the effect. What should be done about them? I said, made dead. But some brother, from the Christian persuasion, got on and started talking about, you got to be merciful and Jesus love him. I said, that's cool. Yeah. That's how right it is, what you want to believe. But, I still say they should be made dead and let Jesus love them when he get to them. Okay? All right? All that. I said, man, I don't want to hear that mumbo jumbo you talking about. Okay? That's because apparently you and I don't worship the same Almighty. Okay? And so he went on and on and on. I told him, hey, man, stand down. I don't get in this kind of conversation with you. We just started off abusing and sex trafficking of women and children, and you talking about Jesus. Okay, now go on about your business. Mind your own business. Go on about your business now. Now, I told you I'm not down with that. And so, unfortunately, because of the fact these people don't know when to take no for an answer, I just send them to fool's paradise. I don't play, man. I don't argue, fuss, and fight about what I believe in, and I don't need nobody validation and approval by what I believe in, okay? So that being said, when I tell you step off. But, like I said, Cadre, some of these folks, they don't know when to take no for an answer. Go ahead, brother.
That's so sad because they try to say that Jesus could take away all the sins of the world. So you allowing child trafficking and child molestation as if Jesus going to save the person that's involved with that as long as they believe in Jesus?
And you're
in the wrong religion.
Right, and you're supposed to be merciful to them. Because if I'm not merciful to them, the Most High, Jesus is not going to be merciful to me. Because I'm not merciful to a child, a pedophilia, and a sex trafficker, women and children. And I'm supposed to show them some sort of mercy? I ain't got no mercy for them. Okay? And he
how much mercy did the Most High show Sodom and Gomorrah?
That's what I'm saying. Well, he would have found mercy for something to be merciful about that. Let him tell it.
And Sodom and Gomorrah was so bad that the older men had infected the younger men to the degree that it said young and old came to Lot's house.
Yeah, it's like a virus,
older
brother.
Men.
It's like a virus. As a matter of fact, Cartrell and fellow students, I had to go to the store earlier today. And I'm going to show you how defunct and desperate we are for men and women who know what's right and do what's right. And I'm just being pleasant. Elderly sister was at the counter. I approached the counter. She said, oh, mister, you come on. I'm getting out of this way. I said something to the effect, Cartrell and fellow students. Oh, no, ma'am, sugar, that's all right. Don't worry, I'm cool. I'm good. That's all right. You doing okay? She said, mister, I was supposed to talk like that the way you know. It made me feel some sort of way that you just spoke kindly to me. Folk don't even know how to talk to folk, Cartrell, and it's infectious. You're right. Bad behavior is infectious. Okay, folk don't even know how to talk. And when a woman heard somebody talking pleasant to her, it brought back days gone by. And she felt, it just made me feel good. Folk talk that way. Just being nice for the sake of being nice. Because being wicked is infectious. And you're right, Cartier, alluding to Sodom and Gomorrah. And juxtapositioning it to what that man said, talking about Jesus is merciful. If I don't be merciful to child pedophilia, child rapists, women rapists and sex traffickers, murders and so on and so forth, I'm the bad guy. Well, I guess I'm going to be the bad guy because I told him back off, man. Okay? Let me worry about that. You worried about the wrong thing. You worry about me and my relationship to my creator. I'm good with it. But you want to be obnoxious and go on to the mountain, that man, the fool's prayer. I ain't got no time for you, man. What is you talking about? And some of us, contrary, because we don't know no better, because we don't study, we lead to our own understanding to say anything. There's any old thing come out of our mouth. Don't you know what he said? I said, man, stop. He was spouting stuff out of Isaiah and stuff from this section. I said, man, stop taking things out of context.
Because you know that's what they do, that jump around education.
Right.
They find stuff to justify their iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing from what we read that justifies iniquity. Every person that we've read so far has paid for the things that they've done.
And you will. You better believe. I was telling my mama, my mother and some of my brothers and sisters, they got together over the weekend to take care of some family business. And mom was talking about something. Here's how I know I give my mama. See, you don't never direct attack your mother or father. You indirect said something. Her mom was saying something to the effect about her scratch-off. She has a habit for, you know, those scratch-offs you buy in the store. And mom said, well, I love those scratch-offs. And I said, I didn't say anything. Give my other brother and sister was saying something. I said, mama. I said, you know, a wise old lady told me back in the day, way back in the day, that Run Edward, you know, that's my slave name, Run Edward, you know, but that's what how she said it when she mad about something. She said, Run Edward, you don't stop all that drinking the can on and whatnot. You gonna pay for it. You better take an ex-fool's advice. I said, mama, that wise old lady told me back in the day, she said, Run Edward, you don't stop all that drinking and cutting up and whatnot, you're going to pay for it. I said, oh, that old lady didn't know what she's talking about. You don't know what you're talking about, old lady. I said, but little did I know, that old lady knew exactly what she was talking about, and I paid for it. Mama didn't say nothing because mama knew what I was talking about. See, you ain't got to see when you talk to your elders, especially your parents. There's a certain way you talk to your parents with respect, respecting their position of authority over you as your parents and that honor that you're supposed to accord them. And so mama didn't say a word because she knew what she was saying, what she told me, and certainly I paid for it. And so, you know, I was speaking in reference to her scratch-off addiction. Yeah, it's a way to talk to folk, Cartrell. And we certainly had to learn how to do it, Cartrell, unfortunately. And you know I ain't lying, Cartrell.
Well, we've grown up in a Western society, right?
Uh-huh.
Under this universal white racist supremacism, right?
Exactly.
And in the midst of it, you got the Roman Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And when we was growing up, we thought these was up and up legit organization.
Exactly.
Come to find out, the Most High lifted up the skirt on the Roman Catholic Church and their pedophilia.
Mm-hmm.
That they've been doing for decades,
right?
Jehovah's Witnesses as well,
right?
So these people have been corrupt and perverted for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus ain't protecting them now because they're getting $1 million lawsuits against them.
You say you know what to say, Cartrell. All right. Well, Cottrell, if you're done with your commentaries, I certainly am. And if you're ready, Cottrell, let's get busy. Hey, open up your books for this open books study session. Okay? May the Most High bless us by being a lamp to our feet and illuminating our way by his word. And most importantly, after this study, the application of said studies. Okay? Chapter 23 of 2 Samuel. It's an open book study. Now, these were the last words of King Dawood. The utterance of King Dawood, son of Jesse, who was his father. The utterance of the man set on high by the Most High. The anointed, and he tells you, the anointed of Yah, of Yaqub. The favorite of the sons of Israel. He was one of the favorites. The Spirit of Yah has spoken through me. His message is on my tongue. That's what he's saying. Yah of Israel has spoken through me. The Rock of Israel said concerning me, he who rules men justly, concerning King Dawood, I'm one of the one who rules men justly. He who rules in all of the Elohim, I am in all of Yah, is like the light of morning at sunrise. Like the light of morning is something that people look forward to. A man that rules men justly, who rules in all of Yah, is like the light of morning at sunrise, the coming light. Welcoming. You welcome, if your mind is right. A morning is like a morning without clouds, through sunshine and rain, bringing vegetation out of the earth. And yes, a just man, by his action, a just ruler, can help facilitate bringing vegetation out of the earth in our land. I don't know about other lands, but if a just king is on the throne, he can help facilitate bringing vegetation out of the earth. And we studied that. It's not my house established by before Yah. My house is established before Yah. For he has granted me an eternal pact, a contract, drawn up in full and secured, notarized and secured by him. Will he not cause all my success if I do what I'm supposed to do? And my every desire to blossom if I do what I'm supposed to do under this contract? But the wicked shall all, now if you ain't following Yah's contract, those wicked shall all be raked aside like thorns. For no one would take them in his hand, no righteous or just person. Whoever touches them must arm himself with iron in the shaft of a spear. These folks ain't right. If you get connected with these folks ain't right. If you get associated with these folks ain't right. You got to protect yourself against these folks. And they must be burned up on the spot because these ain't right kind of people you're hanging out with. Now, I know some of y'all may want to hang out with wicked folk, but I tell people this, Cartrell and fellow students, if you're hanging out with drug dealers, you hanging out with whores, you hanging out with child pedophiles, you hanging out with any kind of pervert of any kind of perversion, I say it like this, and it's quite understandable. You keep going to the barbershop, and you don't want a haircut, but you keep going to the barbershop. Sooner or later, you're going to get a haircut. You're going to start doing what the folks you're hanging out with doing. So, as far as King Dawood was concerned, I don't hang out with these kind of folks. These folks are dangerous, okay? It's dangerous in association with these kind of people. And that's what we are relaying to you today. You're hanging out with the wrong kind of people. Sooner or later, it's going to have an effect. Cottrell said this. Cottrell said something succinctly. He said it about Sodom and Gomorrah. He said it about the men had the effect upon the young men. And Cottrell wasn't lying. And me and Cottrell don't get together and make notes and whatnot. It's just that's the way it comes out. It's synchronized with Yah. And when Yah's word and men, just men and just women, speak Yah's word, is synchronized behind the scene by Yah. Cartrell made that, pointed that out early on in his commentary. And King Darwin is saying it also in his last statements. You can't hang out with wicked folk. It's going to rub off on you. It's dangerous with you to hang out with wicked folk. King Darwin said, I don't hang out with them. A just man or a just woman don't hang out with wicked folk. As I said, you may not want a haircut, but you keep going to the barbershop. They're going to be cutting your hair in the chair. Believe that. And it's dangerous.
And King David wasn't no punk.
No, he wasn't no punk, man. He just knew them.
Talk about a mighty man.
With Cartrell. You know what I mean? Come on, man. Well, you can't, these ain't the kind of folks you want to hang out with.
What they say, birds of a feather flock together.
Truth be told, you see old Matt Gaetz and his perverted buddy, Green of Florida, birds of a feather flock together, Cartrell. You see the
and
people that support
Matt,
him?
Matt Gaetz's friend is about to sing like a canary.
Ain't about to, Cartrell. That boy that wrote a full a symphony in one page.
a full symphony on one page.
Oh, Lord.
The bird is chirping.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he wrote a whole symphony already, Cartrell. A complete symphony.
But how despicable. And, you got this young teenage girl. You traveling around the country with her. And
right.
You're paying her taxpayers' money. And she ain't got to show up for the job.
Yeah.
Her job is to see you when you want to see her.
Justin, can you imagine, Cartrell, you and I doing that? No, I can't imagine.
They would have threw the key away, throwing us in jail. They would have threw the jail away, son.
Well, Cartrell,
Cosby's in jail, right?
Cartrell, I cannot imagine that. I cannot imagine that coming out your mouth. Yum suit. Oh, you got that young girl in Memphis? Oh, won't you fly out my way? I'm going to pick up at the airport. How is she 16? Oh, me saying, Cartrell, hey, man. That young girl hanging out with you, man. I look here. Put on a first flight to Memphis. I got a little something for her. Man, come on, man. We don't get out like that, man. We don't do that.
I got grandchildren 16 years old, man.
That's what I'm saying. We don't get out like that with the get out. And that's why I have a, it just tears me up when I hear about somebody mistreating children in any fashion. Whether it's abuse, psychological abuse, sexual abuse, it just turned me some, and don't look for no mercy for me, okay? If you believe in Jesus like some of you do, you better go to Jesus. You better get your heart to Jesus. Because I run across, you better get your heart to Jesus. Because if I run across a yumsu, I'm going to tear your ass up. I'm going to just tell you like that. I'm going to take the charge. I'm not going to run off and hide under my grandma's porch. I'm going to be waiting on when the police come. And I'm going to tell them, yeah. I messed him up. Yeah, he messed with them little boys. He messed with them little girls. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to go 412. Let him make a decision. Because I already went for the Most High. I'm going to go 412. You know, so all that nonsense some of y'all are on tonight. Jesus going to save him. Let him save him when he come there. Because I'm going to send him there. Okay, to get saved. All right? But I don't like that. I don't like you putting your hand on the children. Go ahead.
Neither does a bear mother. Neither does a lion mother.
Mm-hmm.
And you better run to Jesus if you mess with their children.
Amen, brother. You better, because Yumsu, you better give your heart to Jesus if that's what you believe in. But Yumsu got something for you while you're here. And explain it to Jesus, because I'm going to send you there. That's all I'm going to say. Why run across you? I just can't stand it. These are the names of King Darwin's warriors. Joseph by Hisbeth. You know, here's what you're going to find out about his warriors. They were not all Hebrew Israelites also. Shimonite, the chief officer, he is Adino, the Isnite. He wears his spear against 800 and slew them on one occasion. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodo, son of Ohai. He was one of the three warriors with King Darwin when they defied the Philistines, gathered there for battle. The Israelite soldiers retreated. They ran off. But he held his ground. There's always a man or woman among us that will hold their ground. He held his ground. He struck down Philistines until his arm grew tired and his hand stuck to his sword. I mean, he had a death grip on that sword. And Yah wrought a great victory. You got to have a death grip on life sometimes. And Yah wrought a great victory that day. Then the truth came back to him. But he didn't need no help. Only to strip the slain. Because he had killed them all 800. Next to him.
What happened?
Go ahead, Contra.
He killed so many that the blood congealed on his hand. And they had to break the blood off his hand to let the sword go.
Yeah, it drew dry, and it hand just like glue, like gorilla glue on his hand. Shemaiah, son of Agi, a Rarite, the Philistines had gathered in force where there was a plot of ground full of lentils. And the Israelite troops fled from the Philistines. But Shemaiah took his stand in the midst of the plot and defended it. He routed the Philistines. Thus Yah wrought a great victory. Yah, these men didn't do these great victories. It was their trust and the confidence in Yah that brought about these great victories. Okay? These men alone by their own strength, but they had total trust in the Elohim. And by virtue, they wrought a great victory because they put aside they harnessed their fear. They didn't let their fear overcome them like some of our brothers and sisters did. And they run away at the shaking of a leaf. And it was written for that truth. And some of us still run away. They won't talk like Cartrell and I talk on the Real Talk, Real People Show. They'll run away at the shaking of a leaf. That's what the Most High said in his word. And certainly they'll stand to him. But Cartrell and I, we have a plot of land and we're going to stand on it and we're going to die on it. And that's just the way it is. There's always been men and women among us who've always carved out a plot of land, and we stood on it and we defended it. Just like Cartrell and I stand on to defend the Real Talk for Real People show that is dedicated to Yah, Elohim, and we're going to die on it. But nonetheless, there are brothers and sisters who runs away at the shaking of a leaf on the tree. It's true. The Most High said it, and by the evidence, it's quite true. Once during the harvest, three of the 30 chiefs went down to King David at the case of Adullam with a force of Philistines, while a force of Philistines were encamped in the valley of the Raphaim, the giants. Oh, not ho-ho-ho green giant, real giants. King David was in the stronghold, and a Philistine garrison was there at Bethlehem at that time. King David felt a craving, and he spoke, just speaking. You know how we talk sometimes. Me and Cadre are just sitting down. We just talking. I just say, man, I sure wish that Cadre, I had some water from Memphis. And Cadre goes to Memphis, and basically, Yom Su didn't want Cadre to go to Memphis to get him the water. He's talking, talking out loud, musing to himself. And King David wasn't serious about it. He just, how you be wishful thinking, basically. So King David felt the craving and said, if only I could get a drink of water from the cistern, which is by the gate of Bethlehem. So the three warriors go through the Philistine camp and drew water. They didn't went around him. They went through him and drew water from the cistern, which is by the gate of Bethlehem, and he carried it back, I guess, right back to him. And when they brought it to King David, he would not drink it. He poured it out as libation to the Elohim, to Yah. For he said, Yah forbid that I should drink this water. I cannot drink the blood of the men who went at the risk of their lives. I didn't know, y'all. I didn't want y'all to do that. I was just musing. It wasn't nothing serious. And I can't drink this water. Y'all put y'all life at risk, man. I can't do this because I would have never ordered y'all to do that. So he would not drink it. Such were the exploits of these three warriors, simply because they heard the king musing. Oh, man, I wish I had me some water. But, that's some nice water in Bethlehem, man. I sure wish I had that. You talk offhand. And Abishua, the brother of Joab, we read about him. The son of Zariah was head of another three. He once wielded his spear against 300. Man, King Dawah's nephew wasn't nothing nice. That was King Dawah's nephew, Abishua. He was a tough fellow. And he slew him. He won a name among the three since he was the most highly regarded among the three. He became their leader. These people always went in threes. Felt like on the Real Talk of Real People show, ain't it? Cartrell, Yum Soup, and Abiyah. I'm serious. However, he did not attain to the three. Benaniah, son of Jehoiada from Kabzeel, was a brave soldier who performed great deeds. He killed the two sons of Ariah of Moab once on a snowy day. You know, yeah, we had snow. Still got snow. Some parts of the land, but they ain't got all the parts of the land. He went down into a pit and killed the lion. He also killed a Mizarim, a huge fellow. The Mizarim had a spear in his hand, yet Benaniah went down against him with a club, a big stick, and wrenched the spear out of the big Mizarim hand and killed him with his own spear. Such were the exploits of Benaniah, son of Jehoiada, and he won a name among the three warriors. He was highly regarded among the 30. He did not attain to the three. King Dawah put him in charge of his bodyguard. This guy was so bad, man. So bad. Among the 30 was Ashiel, the brother of Joab. Elhanan, son of Dodo, from Bethlehem. Shammah, the Herodite. Elkah, the Herodite. Helas, the Palatite. Ara, son of Akish from Tekoa. Ebeza, Anathoth. Benunneh, the Hushhatite. Zalamon, the Hohite. Maharite, the Naphophatite. Heleb, son of Rana, the Naphtophonite. Hatta, son of Rabbah from Galba, of the Benjamites. He was from the Benjamin tribe. Benaiah of Parathon. Hadada of Nahalagash. Abon, the Abatite. Mavas, the Bahamite. Elesba of Sabon, sons of Jashin. Jonathan. Shama, the Rorite. Ahiam, son of Shaba, the Arahite. Eliphelet, son of Hasba, son of Maskah, Maskanite. Iliam, son of Ahithophel, the Gileonite. Helrite, the Carmelite. Parah, an Anumnite, the Anumnite. Nahara, the Baratite, the arm bearer of Commander Joab, son of Zerara. Arara, the Arite. Gareb, the Arite. Uriah, the Hittite. 37 in all. These were magnificent warriors that the king felt because of their skills and their dedication to Yah, and to also mention their nation, their national heritage. Not all of them were Hebrew Israelites. Most of them were, but not all of them. And he felt that was important to note out. And if the king felt that was important to note out, it must be important. And it must be expounded upon. Why is it important to note this out? Not all the great warriors were Hebrew Israelites, because there were men from different nations that subscribed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And he wasn't about, just because they were from a different nation, to hinder their association, nor their participation in his armed forces against the enemies of Yah. Okay, Cartrell, what say you, my brother and friend? What's your commentary?
He had quite a crew.
Man, he had an awesome crew.
Got one brother, first brother, the Tetramite, Dino, the Ezonite. Says he lifted up his spear against 800.
800.
And he slew them all at one time. Not with a sword. Not with a gun. With a spear?
Spear.
How you kill 800 men with a spear?
Man, you had to be like Bruce Lee. I mean, you were moving and grooving. Man, this guy was moving and grooving. I mean, this guy had skills, man, like Bruce Lee.
Yeah, you talking about Eliezer. He killed 300 by himself. So how would you like to meet these guys?
Man,
say they name.
I wouldn't want to meet them in a dark alley and they say I was the enemy. I can tell you that. Because Yamsu going to be running the other way screaming like a girl, okay?
You wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of these guys.
Hey, Young Super tough guy. Young Super been running back the other way down that alley, screaming like a girl.
So it shows you how much gumption that Benjamin had when he was cursing King David.
He did.
When he was on the run.
He did.
But then he realized, oh, King David's coming back to power. I better apologize. Quick, fast, and hurry. He made a game and met King David before everybody else. Just,
right.
I'm sorry. My sin, my iniquity, I was out of my head. I lost my mind. I don't know what the heck I was saying. Please forgive me.
I am post-traumatic King Saul syndrome.
Spit on him, threw stones at him. He's like, oh, wait a minute. Please forget about that. Have mercy on me. Look who he was dealing with. And you know, King David's nephew was like, yo, let me kill this dog right here, right now.
He's doing me in.
Yeah.
You gonna let him talk to you like that? You gonna let that boy talk to you like that?
These guys were lethal. You talking about somebody that killed 800 men. Listen to this guy curse the guy you loyal to. Let me take a set right now. We just end this in a minute.
He stopped all of them. He stopped all of them. Because they wanted to put a hurt on that boy. Okay?
So this is like the dream team. You talking about Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, Sugar Ray Leonard, Sugar Ray Robinson,
George Foreman.
What?
Mike Tyson.
Tim Brown. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You talking about these brothers was for real. The top warriors in a nation out amongst our people. Like looking at the NBA or the NFL, top athletes that you see.
Yeah, he did have an NBA team, didn't he? He had an NBA team. He had an NFL
football team. 37 and all.
37? He had a football team. He had an NBA football team. He had an NBA basketball team. He had the best of the best. He recruited the
international.
Best.
Yeah. Because he had, the last name on that list was Uriah the Hittite, right? Why was Uriah the Hittite last? Oh, boy. We know what happened with him.
Yeah, but he didn't neglect to get that main prop stuff. See, that's the kind of thing he was. He didn't neglect to give him his prop. He gave him his respect, even though he said, I'm wrong. What I did was wrong by taking that man's wife and whatnot and committing adultery with her. I'm not going to take away from what that man was. That man was a warrior, and I'm going to give him his props, okay? In spite of
he was a foreign warrior.
Right.
Yet, he made the list in the top 37.
Right. And that man loved y'all. So for some of you brothers and sisters who like to go out there and cuss and fight with all different nations, I mean, come on now. If a king can give respect to men and women of different nations for their contribution to Yah, why can't you? If they say they want to love Yah, how are you going to stop somebody from loving Yah? If somebody says they want to serve Yah, how are you going to stop them if they say they want to serve Yah? You need to stop that, okay? Because it was good enough for our king to subscribe and bringing them into his fighting force and giving them that due diligence and respect. Are you any better than the king of Israel? I don't think so. You know, as a matter of fact, let me double down on that. Mind you, this king was the king after the Most High way of thinking. Okay? He was after the Most High way of thinking, meaning that most of the things that King Dawood did was after the Most High way of thinking and not leaning to his own understanding. Okay? But yes, he failed. He had shortcomings. But he made it right. He corrected them, and he kept it moving. He didn't lay down in the madness and revert himself. He felt sorry. He didn't feel sorry for himself. He felt sorry for what he did, and he made amends to Yah, and he kept it moving in the right direction, unlike so many of us, Cartrell, unlike so many of us.
You're absolutely right. And this chapter, whether you know it or not, blows Christianity right out the water.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let the buzz boys pass.
Okay.
Yeah, this chapter right here blows Christianity out of the water because you have to go back to what the word Messiah and Christ means, right?
Uh-huh.
And Christ the Messiah means anointed.
Anointed.
Messiah is the Hebrew word for anointed, and Christ is the Greek word for anointed, all right?
Okay.
But this chapter starts out how? It says, now, these be the last words of King David. King David, the son of Jesse, said, the man who was raised up on high, the anointed, the Messiah, the Christ, of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said. So who are we describing here, Jesus or King David?
King David.
The Spirit of Yah spake to me, the anointed of God, the God of Jacob, and his word was in my tongue. So King David wasn't speaking what he thought. He spoke what the Most High told him to speak, like all the rest of the prophets, right?
Exactly.
The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of Elohim. So it's just not this concept of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No, the King of Israel has to rule with the fear of the God of Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham in him, and he must be just.
Exactly.
It doesn't say he has to make a sacrifice for the sins of the people. He has to rule justly in the fear of God. And he shall be as a light of the morning. That's what they call Jesus, right? The morning star, the bright morning star. No, that's where they got it from right here. The anointed of Yah, it says, he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even morning without clouds, as the tender grass springs out of the earth by clearing, shining after rain. He says, although my house be not so with Elohim, yet he hath made me an everlasting covenant. Who's he making his everlasting covenant with? David, King David, or Jesus?
King David. So why would King David...
In all things, and sure, but this is my salvation. That's what we're all looking for, and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. He planted the seed, but it takes time for that seed to grow.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So we see this blows Christianity right out the window, and we see we didn't try to get the concept of that he's the bright morning star and all this and all that. But the anointed of the God of Jacob is King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. That's who the anointed of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is. Right? So you could debate this all you want, but this is ancient. This was written before we were born.
Exactly. Amen, my brother. Amen. Well, Cartrell, if you're done with your commentaries, we'll move right on to the next.
Sir.
Study sessions. Thank you, brother. Chapter 24, and we're coming to the conclusion of 2 Samuel, then we'll get into Kings in our next segment of studies. And contrary, I have told y'all about this, about we don't go to take census. And, but we're going to find out something here. The anger of Yah, again, fed up against Israel. He incited King David against them, saying, go and take a census of Israel and Yehuda. The king, now, because we don't want to take a census of our people, not like they do in America. And for whatever reason, the Most High, I don't have a hotline with him. He don't tell me his reasons why, but I'm pretty sure if we continue to study, we'll find out. He just don't want us to take a census of the people. So he incited King David against them, saying, go and number Israel and Judah. Take a census. The king said to Commander Joab, his army commander, make the rounds of all the tribes of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, and make a census of the people so that I may know the size of the population. Commander Joab answered the king, saying, may Yah, your Elohim, increase the numbers of the people a handful, while your own eyes see it? Well, why should my lord, the king, want this? You know, this ain't right. We don't supposed to do this. However, the king.
King, Joab.
Go ahead.
Again, is the conscience of the king.
Right.
Joab, his nephew, he's always trying to keep King David on the right path. Because I know Joab gets a bad rap because he was a bad man.
Mm-hmm.
But he always had that inclination to keep the king right, even though he wasn't right himself all the time. He's like, what you're doing is wrong. Like, you crying over your son Absalom, what you think the people, you know, if they had to die, you would have been happy that they had died and not Absalom. You got to get yourself together, brother. And King listened to him. But this time, maybe not so much.
No. Because, however, the king commands to Joab and to the officers of the army remained firm. No, you take a census. And Joab and the officers of the army set out at the instance of the king to take a census of the people of Israel, which is a no-no. They crossed the Jordan and encamped at Ora on the right side of the town, which is in the middle of the Wadi Gad, and went on to Jazer. They continued to Gilead, the region of Taltim Hoshit. And they came to Zanjan and around to Sidon. They went onto the fortress of Tyre and all the towns of the Hivites and the Canaanites and finished that they were Hebrews living in those towns. And they finished at Beersheba in southern Judah. And they traversed the whole country. And they came back to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months. It took them 9 months and 20 days. Commander Joab reported to the king the number of the people that had been recorded. In Israel, there were 800,000 fighting men ready to draw the sword. And the men of Judah, there were 500,000 fighting men, a million-man army. But after King David reproached himself, he thought better. He said, man, I should have did that. For having taken a census of the people. And King David said to Yah, I have sinned grievously in what I've done. I know I didn't supposed to take a census. See, that remember I told you, King David didn't just feel sorry for himself. He felt sorry for what he did. And he said, I have done. Please, Yah, remit the guilt of your servant, for I have acted foolishly. When King David arose in the morning, the word of Yah came to the prophet Gad. King David, here, prophet, go and tell King David, thus said Yah, I hold three things over you. Choose one of them. Now you got a choice. How I'm going to punish your behind. Because you knew you should have did what you did, but you did it anyway. It is consequences and repercussions. I hold three things over you. Choose one of them, and I will bring it upon you, because I got to whoop your behind. Gad, the prophet, came to King David and told him, here's one, shall a seven-year famine come upon you in the land, or shall you be in flight from your adversaries for 3 months while they pursue you, or shall there be 3 days of pestilence in your land? Make your choice. Now consider carefully what reply I should take. Now the prophet telling him, now you consider carefully now what reply I should take back to Yah who sent me. King David said to the prophet Gad, oh man, I'm in great distress. Let us fall into the hand of the Elohim, for his compassion is great. and let me not fall into the hands of man. He said, whatever choice I make, if that choice be, let it be in the hands of Yah, because his compassion is great. Because let me not fall into the hands of men, because they don't have no compassion. So he let Yah make the decision for all intents and purposes. Mind you, now if the adversaries were his enemies, there was no mercy. Now a 7-year famine would be hard on the land, but a 3-day pestilence would have been much better. So Yah sent a pestilence upon Israel from morning until set time. And because of that, let me tell y'all something. The king in our nation has a great impact upon the nation. Now, if there's a wicked king doing whatever he wants, whenever he wants, whenever he wants to do it, it can cause great harm upon the land. But if he's the righteous king, does whatever the Most High said, whenever he said, how long he said, remember I told you at the very beginning, it's connected with the land and the people in the land. So the king is not only connected with the people in the land, he's connected with the land and himself. And so Yah is showing you this at the end of his story here, that if it's a righteous king, the people will have good times and the land will flourish. But if it's an unjust king bent on doing what they want to do, it can cause harm to the people in the land, and not only the people in the land, but the land in itself, and even to their own household. That's what Yah is showing you. And he sent a pestilence upon Israel from morning until the set time. And 70,000 of the people died because of the act, the impetuous act of King Dawah from Dan to Beersheba. But when the angel extended a hand against Jerusalem to destroy it, oh, it was going to go against Jerusalem. The Most High stopped it. Because when the Most High let them headbusters loose, they bust heads and they don't buy none where they at. Okay? So they was about to bust some heads in Jerusalem. But as King Dawah said, the Most High knows mercy. Yah renounced further punishment. And he said to the angel who was destroying the people, enough! Stay your hand. That's enough. The angel of Yah was then by the threshing floor of Arah Hana, the Jezebite. He was already there. He was there, ready to bust my heads. When King Dawah saw the angel, he saw it and striking down the people, he said to Yah, I alone, I'm guilty. I alone have done wrong. But these poor sheep, what have they done? These people. Let your hand fall upon me and my father's house. If you're going to do something to somebody, Yah, I accept the consequences and the repercussions. Don't hurt these poor folks, Yah. I know I'm the king. I know I'm the king. I'm connected with the people. I'm connected with the land. And because of such, Yah, I'm asking for mercy on these people because of my impetuous act. And Yah heard him. Yah showed mercy. Because King Dawah finally got it. He finally got it. You can't do what you want to do, King Dawah. You and no other man that sits on this throne. This throne is connected to these people. This throne is connected to that land. And that's consequences and repercussions. For any man that sits on this throne that represents me, it represents these people, it represents this land. And that got to be a just man, a righteous man. King Dawah said, okay, good. I tell you what, you're right, y'all. So please don't do these poor folk like that. They didn't have nothing to do with my impetuous act of taking the census. I did this. Let it be on my house, y'all. Let it be on me. And see, that's the kind of man that you would have representing you as king. Knowing that he did wrong and not say, oh, well, that's how I go. That's how I be. He didn't say that. He said, I'm the cause of this. Let it be on my house and let it be on my head. And because of King Dawah's compassion and love for the people, kind of stopped it, kind of made the whole Most High put things in check, because he realized King Darwin loved these people. He loved his land. He wanted the best for the people. He wanted the best for the, in spite of him being impetuous and doing things he shouldn't have did. See, that's what y'all don't get about King Darwin. See, y'all always try to put his dirty laundry in the street. But see, here's what y'all neglect to see sometimes when you're talking about King Darwin. King Darwin loved the people. King Darwin loved the land that the people were on, in spite of himself. Unlike so many of us who claim that they love the people, but I can't tell by the way they treat our people. I can't tell by the way they talk about the people on Food's Book. I can't tell by the way they talk about the women folk. I can't tell by the way they talk about the men folk. I can't tell by the way they talk about children, talking about they love Yah. But their actions are not indicative of that. And they ain't about to get nothing fall on their head, but they like to bust some head. But they won't take ownership and responsibility for their own actions. Unlike King Darwin. A lot of people tell me, I'm like King. No, you ain't like King Darwin. Stop lying to yourself. You're so unlike this king. You like to say you are, but you aren't. And his king goes on to prove that you're not like King Darwin. He said, let your hand fall upon me and my father's house. The prophet Gad came to King Darwin the same day and said to him, go and set up an altar to the Elohim on the threshing floor where that angel sat, Arunah, the Jezebite. King Darwin went up immediately, following the prophet Gad's instructions. As Yah had commanded, Arunah looked up and saw the king and his couriers approaching him. Now this was a stranger from a different nation. So Arunah went out and bowed low to the king, this man of a different nation, with his face to the ground. And Arunah asked, let me tell y'all, now I'm going to show you something about this king. Why has my lord the king come to his servant? King Darwin replied, to buy the threshing floor from you, that I may build an altar to Yah, that the plague against the people may be checked. And Arunah said to King Darwin, let my lord king take it, you can have it, and offer up whatever he sees fit. Because I know about you. You're a good man. And here are oxen. Not only that, I'm going to give you some oxen for burnt offering. And the threshing boards. And the gear of the ox for wood to burn this. All this, O king, Arunah, gives to your majesty. And may Yah, your Elohim, whom I know about through you and your people. And Arunah added, respond to you with favor. Let me show you about this king. And I'm going to show you about people of a different nation, how they respond to this king, unlike some of us who like to cuss and fuss and fight at him. Now the king replied to Arunah, no, I will buy them from you at a price. I cannot sacrifice to Yah my Elohim burnt offers. They cost me nothing. I got to have skin in the game. I caused this by my own action, and it's got to cost me. I can't get away from this, like some of us try to get away from the contrail and fellow students. We try to get away from putting skin in the game and don't want it to cost us nothing. And then want to take some from other folks to get skin in the game. But this man was so unlike so many of us. So King Darwin bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver, a humongous amount of money. King Darwin built there an altar to Yah, and sacrifice burnt offering and offering a well-being for the people. And Yah responded to the plea for the land in the land. The people in the land are connected to this king, as should be. And the plague against Israel was checked. See, this king found out. This king found out. Some of y'all missing this. But this king found out. The people, the land, is connected to that throne, that king on that throne. If that king on that throne is doing whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, however he wants to do it, it's going to cost the people in the land. And whenever that king is sitting on that throne and doing what Yah tell him to do, whenever he tell him to do it, however he tell him to do it, howsoever he tell him to do it, it's going to help the people in the land. That is connection. And King Darwin finally got it. He finally got it. All right, Cartrell. What say you, my brother and friend?
He definitely finally got it. He had a lot with him. He had the ability to see the angel, what you call him, headbuster.
Yeah, headbuster.
He didn't challenge the headbuster. He was a mighty man.
Mm-mm.
He realized he was dealing with Yah. And headbusters could be in our midst, and you don't even see them.
Don't even know
it. The Most High broke this out. In the midst of our people, 70,000 lost their lives, like coronavirus hit them real hard. They didn't have no vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
But just like that, the Most High could take you out in a day, 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And also the fact that he did the census, right, in 9 months. Mm-hmm. They didn't have no computers or none of the modern-day equipment, but they were able to get an accurate number, which shows you we may underestimate, you know, their technology ability that they had back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't even get a vote right here. They're talking about the vote was a fraud. Y'all can't count. You can see back here, he was able to count. And he got the number right to his hurt. Because once he found out the number, he realized he did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But he was able to make this offering. And do you know that this offering was taken up by fire?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. When we get into the book of Chronicles, the book of Chronicles goes into more detail. It tells the same stories, but it goes into a lot more detail. So we're going to find out that when he made this offering, Most High came down from heaven with fire and licked it up, boom, in a blast of fire.
Mm.
So we know he had that connection with the Most High, like a priest or a prophet. That's how close King David was. He didn't actually go to a prophet or the priest. He didn't go back to Gad. He went straight to this man, Arunah, and bought this property and built the altar himself and made this offer for himself. That's amazing.
Yeah, because he did what Yah commanded him to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we know what Yah commanded the nation to do. You're not supposed to make no offering outside the tabernacle.
No.
But something was wrong here at this place where he had to make this offering himself.
Right. And even that being said, King Dawud was not a Levite. But when the Most High commands the man on the throne to do
anointed.
You got to do it, okay?
Yeah, he's and anointed like the priest.
Yeah. Right.
So he's in that same club as the priest.
As a high priest.
He's a king, huh?
Right. He's in that same succession, just like a high priest, because the high priest is anointed. So
yeah.
King Dawud is anointed, just like the king of Israel is anointed, just like the high priest is. He's in the same spirit.
And just like the priests, the king, like you said, has a pulse on the people. What the priests do affect us, and what the king does affects the whole nation.
Amen.
It ain't like this is going to affect the whole nation. It's going to affect me and my family. But when the king does something or the priest does something, they have the pulse of the whole nation, and the whole nation suffers, as we see. When he made this count, it seemed innocent. Take account of the warriors in the land. How many we got? You know, I know we got 36, 37 bad men, but I want to know how many fighting men that's ready to draw the sword, you know, just in case.
Right.
Yeah, I got upset with him. No, you're not supposed to take a census of, you know, the nation.
Exactly.
They went from Beersheba to Dan. I mean, they covered the whole nation.
Whole nation.
And they did it in 9 months.
Well, that headbuster did it in 3 days.
Yeah. He wasn't playing.
He picked out whoever he wanted, wherever he wanted, throughout the whole land and bust their head. All because of a simple, impulsive act upon a king that caused the destruction of 70,000 people. And impulsive, you cannot be impulsive when it comes to Yah. Everything must be thought out and connected with Yah according to his prescription, okay, in the contract. And just like Katria said, there's brothers and sisters who are doing things universally today as we speak. but it is according to prescription of Yah. If it's not according to the prescription of Yah, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Okay? You're going to put skin in the game. Mm-hmm. Go ahead,
Carter. We have to be like that angel or that headbuster you're talking about.
Right.
How many people he killed?
70,000.
In how many days?
I would think it was from the morning to a prescribed time.
When the Most High told him to stop, he stopped, didn't he?
Exactly.
He didn't go on his own accord. He didn't go beyond what the Most High commanded him to do. He did exactly what the Most High told him to do.
No
and
question.
When
no
the Most High told him to stop.
No question asked. Okay?
Right.
Unlike so many of us, we just want to keep on leaning to our own understanding. When an angel that can strike down 70,000 men, women, and children can stay his hand without any hesitation, and then you don't know nothing about Yah like you think you know about Yah, because Yah said, your ways are not my ways. Your thinking is not my thinking. When I give orders, I expect them to be honored. I don't expect you to be questioning me on these orders. Just do what I tell you to do. So unlike us, Cartrell, so unlike us.
And trust me, we better respect those headbusters. It's that when we see them, just like King David, we just read about his A-team crew. He got a crew that's slaying 900 men with a spear. And when
exactly.
he sees this angel is capable of killing 70,000 with his hand alone. King David had to yield. It's like, we ain't messing with no angel.
Exactly.
I don't mess with the Philistines, the Amorites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and I'll take them on by the thousand. But this one headbuster right here? Oh, no. I better get myself together before Yah. You understand? Me and my household.
Amen, brother. Amen.
So we talking about we want to meet angels and talk. No, I don't think so. These forces are fearsome, and they out on Yah's command.
And they follow
orders.
Reservation, and they follow orders, Cartrell. Okay?
Exactly.
They don't question Yah. They don't question Yah. They just, when he said stop, they stop. When he said go, they go. When he said jump, they say hi. And some of us need to get to some semblance of mindset like these angels. No, you can't be no angel, and you don't want to be one. But you need to get somewhere and some semblance to them. Learn how to follow orders, okay? Learn how to follow orders. That's the problem with some of us. We don't know how to follow orders. We like to lean to our own understanding. We like to say what we want to say, how we want to say it, when we want to say it. That would not suffice. That's not going to work for you, and you need to stop it, and you need to stop it right now, okay? That's what Yom Suk going to lead for you today, okay?
So think about this. The angel has far more power than King David or
exactly.
any of his mighty men, right?
Exactly.
But he's an obedient, humble servant.
Right.
He's not trying to display the powers that Yah gave him over mankind, which he could have did. He
right.
had a rebellious thing to do if he wasn't listening.
Right.
But that's our problem. We have
right.
less power than the angels, and we don't listen to the Most High, who's
and
more powerful than the angels
and
that they have to obey.
Right. We have less authority and more rebellion.
Less authority, less power, less obedience. These angels are powerful, and they submit their will to the Most High. They don't act outside of the instructions or the command of the Most High. And we should be on that very same page.
All right.
But people think that the angels, they only exist in the ancient times.
Now, say it again, Cartrell.
I said people think that that's old mythology and angels only existed in ancient times. Right?
No, that's applied today.
So we don't think that there's headbusters walking around the streets of the earth right now, like this one we see in this chapter. But trust me, there's headbusters just like this one in this chapter walking the earth right now.
Hey, Cartrell.
Yes.
A fellow student, what do you think coronavirus is? Okay? That's a headbuster.
Excellent. Right?
That's a headbuster. Okay? and get whoever he wants, whenever he wants, wherever they at. They can get a shot. They can get four shots. They can wear a mask. They can do it. They'll get at you. Okay? All right. Contra, if you're done with your commentary, and I certainly am, and now it's time for us men and us women to learn the art of love, not sex. That's different. To learn the art of love, something that is foreign to us in this foreign land, we need to learn what love is and how to express it and how to show it. And I'm not talking about sex either. Contra, will you do us the honors of bring to us another song of Solomon?
No question, no doubt. We give thanks and praise for our King, King Solomon, for expressing himself along with his Isha, the one who's speaking back to him, because they show what true love is. And like you said, it's more than just sex. It's appreciation of, your soulmate, maybe, right? Your soulmate, the opposite that you were supposed to be attracted to. And obviously, these two have pure love for each other, even though King Solomon is a king. And she's just a regular farm girl. He loves her. She loves him. And they have a way of expressing it. And we are people that express ourselves very well, poetically, whether it be in songs or poetry. We're known for that. And here it is. Our king is setting the example, so we know where it comes from. Don't fall too far from the tree. Right? That's what they say. And here we go. King Solomon's song to his beloved. And he's speaking. We give thanks and praise to Yah, the Holy One of Israel, for our king, and for allowing him to leave his great writings behind, that we could even grow and learn and increase our way before the Most High. How beautiful are your feet in sandals? Oh, you know, some people got some ugly feet, right? How beautiful are your feet? He's talking about her feet. How many men compliment women on their feet?
I do.
He was wise enough to do it.
Right.
And you know, women go out their way to get their nails did, right?
But Cartrell.
The manicure.
Cartrell, let's be honest. I've seen some feet that won't get one compliment. I mean, I just have a tendency when I'm in the store, sometimes Cartrell and fellow students, and I'm in the line and somebody got sandals on, a woman. For some odd reason, my eyes just gravitate toward the feet. I don't know. I think a woman will take care of feet, she ain't going to take care of nothing else neither. I look at them feet, and them feet look bad. I said, man, she don't take care of feet, man. She don't know how to take care of nothing else, too. I done seen some women feet, look like scarecrow feet. I done seen some women feet, and I had to compliment them on the face. I said, hey, sister. I tell them, they be happy. You can see the smile on their face. And it'd be total stress. I say, hey, ma'am, I don't mean no harm. I'm trying to be fresh anyway. But you got some nice feet. You take care of them feet, don't you? And they'd be so happy. See, y'all need to learn, like King Solomon, how to compliment women. Okay, it's just simple things. It ain't got to be extravagant. Go ahead, Cartrell.
We not living in King Solomon's time. And some women, that's all they spend their time on, their nails, their hair, and their pedicures. And if you go to their crib, you'll be shocked, because that's all they're concerned with about themselves. They don't take care of nothing else but themselves. But anyway, we ain't talking about that here. We talking about a well-grown young lady that does take care of herself, and every young lady that's looking for a husband should be well-grown and looking, very attractive. And that's how you get the attention of men, because we are visual. We are a visual being. We have to see beauty. We have to see, that certain thing, in the female side, and vice versa. They got to see that thing that they look for in a man. So he says the curve of your thighs are like jewels, the work of your hands of a skillful workman. Your navel is a rounded goblet. It lacks no blended beverage. Your waist is a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of gazelle. Did we read this before? Is he saying the same thing over? Your neck is like the iron ivory tower. Your eyes are like pools of Heshbon by the gates of Bath Rabim. Your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon, which looks towards Damascus. Your head crowns you like Mount Carmel. And the hair of your head is like purple. A king is held captive by your tresses. How fair and how pleasant are you, O love, your delights. Your statue, this statue of yours is like a palm tree, and your breasts like his clusters. I said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of his branches. Let now your breasts be like clusters of vine. The fragrance of your breath like apples, and the roof of your mouth like the best wine. And she says, the wine goes down smoothly for my beloved, moving gently the lips of sleepers. I am my beloved, and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth to the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine is budded, whether the grape blossoms are open, and the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love. The mandrakes give off a fragrance, and at your gate are pleasant fruits, all manner, new and old, which I've laid up for you, my beloved. So you can see here the appreciation. She wants a relationship with her man, and he's infatuated with her beauty. He's in love so much that he wants to cling to her. He's looking at every aspect of her being and giving her the compliments that she deserves. And she's ready. She's willing to work with King Solomon to be that virtuous woman, looking after the vineyards and the gardens and watching things grow.
Right.
And as they do it together, they grow more in love. And when you have a mate, you got to do things together as a team, as a partner, in order to make the relationship work, in order to make the relationship last.
Amen, right? Brother. Yeah. Whatever you start putting it in, you got to keep putting it in. Okay?
That's right.
Make it last forever. Just like that song. Make it last forever.
Don't let our love stand.
Don't let our love slip away. Whatever took together, you got to do the same thing to keep it, vice versa. It waits both ways, two sides of the street. You can't take each other for granted. And maybe you may not speak like our ancient fathers or mothers, but you certainly can say your neck like the New York State Building. You can find some descriptive in this land to apply to your woman. You can come up behind and watch you washing dishes. You say, your neck is like the Sears Tower, like the New York, the building, Empire State Building. You know, man, you know how to put it together. Put it together. I mean, you ain't going to be a crash dummy all your life, is it? I mean, express yourself. You know, express yourself. It's true. All right.
Yeah, you got feet like Cinderella. They wear their glass slippers.
Yeah. Some of them, if they got Gorilla feet, you're in big trouble. That's all I'm going to tell you. But
you got jokes.
Well, it's true.
You got jokes.
It's true.
I thought of a joke yesterday, man.
What's that, my man?
I had my son and my wife crack it up.
Right.
So, why don't babies have teeth when they're born?
I don't know.
Because they would eat themselves up. A young kid. Babies put everything in their mouth.
Yeah.
And they chew on everything. If they had teeth, they would eat themselves up.
Right.
Well, I guess it ain't that funny. You missed the punchline.
But I tell you what, Cadrillo, speaking in reference to women and how King Solomon was expressing himself towards his lovely country girl was concerned, I'm going to say this, listeners, and it's a joke, too. I've seen some women very unlike that country beautiful woman that King Solomon is making reference to. I've seen women so unlike that beautiful woman, that if those women were dogs, I would make him shave his behind and walk backwards. Okay? All right. All right, Cottrell.
You know what the four tops say?
What's that?
Beauty is only skin deep.
Yeah, but that dog still be walking backwards. With a shaved behind, looking like a dog. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You could see King Solomon was a charmer. He had that flair for words.
He had Matt.
No wonder. Huh? Yeah, he had Matt. He had Matt.
Yeah, he got game. And some of y'all need to learn some Matt, like the king. And I'm talking about not smacking. I'm talking about some real macking. I'm talking about some real serious macking and not just being flattery. Not just saying flattering words, but saying words that really express what you feel about her, in the case of the sisters, what you feel really feel about him. Not flattering words, but serious words. Serious that words that you can't make up. That she
words
knows that
appreciation.
You appreciate it. And real. Keep it real. Keep it real for your expression against one another, for each other, for you brothers against these sisters. And because, like I tell y'all, we have learned the art of lovemaking. And lovemaking is expression of words. It is not sex. It's two different things. Sex is one thing. Lovemaking, by virtue of your words, are another thing. And we need to learn what the art of lovemaking is and expressing ourselves with words when it comes to our women folk and it comes to each other. Like I told you, that sister today, when I was just being pleasant, she said, you know, I ain't never heard no man talk like that in a long time. And I didn't say anything that was unique other than, yeah, sister, she said, you can come on up, mister. I said, I'm good. I'm good, sugar. I mean, I'm cool. You know, take care of your business, baby. I'm good. She said, that's the way you said it, like you really cared something about me as a person. And women can see through bull, okay? So whatever you said about women and men that is concerned, you got to be for real and keep it real, okay? They can see through game and men and women. So whatever you said to your women or your husbands, your man that you may be interested in, a woman that you may be interested in, be for real, because they can see right through it, okay? Contra, do you have any more commentary?
I think we need a lot more of this because of how broken we are in our relationship. It's all about just sex right now.
Yeah.
And really not about love and building family and growing a family, unfortunately, because when we were growing up, we wanted a wife and have a family, you know, that was our thought.
Right.
But unfortunately, that's not the mindset of our young people today. But they're under a lot of stress. But mayhap, you know, the Most High bring it back to that, where a young man and a young woman can really, you know, enjoy each other and what it means to be young and in love.
Right. And what Cartrell is basically, I believe that it ain't young and in sex. It's young and in love, and that's a different thing, a different component. And it's good to be young and in love than young and in sex, okay? Because believe you me, the sex ain't what it used to be. The sex act is not what it used to be. But if you got real love for one another, it's going to always be there. And it's going to always, you have that mutual love and respect for one another and appreciation and common courtesy. You've built upon it. And so like I said, you know, you get older, you know, and I'm not saying that sex is not okay. But what I'm saying, sex is not all that is predicated upon building a constructive and positive relationship. It's just okay. Ain't nothing new about it. So that being said, it's better to build upon a loving relationship. So when those days come, that you always have the love and respect and a common courtesy and appreciation for one another. And what it really means to be in love with someone. And Cartrell is dead to the right. We need much more of that because we're in this Western culture and hemisphere where only thing they think about is sex, sex, sex. Sex in the morning. Sex in the evening. Sex at night. Sex outside. Sex inside. Sex in the basement. Sex on top of the house. Sex in the backyard. Sex in the front yard.
Sex in a hotel. Sex down in there. That's all they talk about.
Sex, sex, sex. Where's the love? Where's
you
the
got
love?
Young girls twerking.
Yeah. That's what I'm
twerking?
Saying. You see what I'm
like,
saying?
Come on now.
Come on now. Contrail ain't lying. Come on now. Learn to love one another. Oh, that's sex,
sex. Respect yourself.
Right. Yeah. There's much more than that.
You showing your butt to the world? I mean,
yeah.
It's on social media.
Yeah. And you put, what's that supposed to prove? You ain't number little undercover.
It's called your private parts for a reason.
Yeah. Well,
private parts for
oh,
a reason.
I call it a little
not
undercover.
Public part. Huh?
Okay. You're a hoe.
I call your public part.
Okay. Everybody won't see all that. That's for your man to be seeing all that. I mean, that's for your man to be. Now, if you my woman, yeah, and you get in bedroom and twerk all night long. But now, yeah. But now, everybody else.
For the world.
Yeah, that ain't for everybody to see. But see, like we're broken people, and we're in a broken society, and we do broken things, and we think that's right. And Contreras is certainly right. We need more of this. We need more of these studies, and we need more application of these studies. That being said, Cottrell, my brother and my friend, it's a pleasure to have you back on. I was musing over the fact, well, Cottrell ain't gonna show up. I gotta do what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do it like this. I'm gonna do it like that. Do it like this. And I'm thankful to the Most High. He allowed you to come back. It's been a great study session. And the Most High willing, Cottrell, and fellow students, we're looking for more. We need much more of this. Truth be told, Cottrell. My brother, do you have any closing remarks?
Yeah, I know it ain't easy, Yak, so I had to, be there for you, help lift you up.
I appreciate
and,
it.
So much we glean from one another in these studies mm-hmm. together that mm-hmm. it's like tough to really miss a night.
Right.
So
I know the feeling, bro. I know the feeling. I'd be like a junkie when I miss a night. I'd be like a junkie, man.
That's how you're supposed to be. Thirsting for wisdom.
That's right.
Like men try to find gold. And that's what we're doing.
You're right, Kaja. I just feel naked. I feel naked. I feel like I'm missing something.
Uh-huh.
And nothing can fill in what we're doing. But providing Yah's word and trying to encourage brothers and sisters to make the application. And nothing can fill in that vacuum. And I feel so foreign and aloof when I'm not able to come on this show. But I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for Avia. And most importantly, I'm grateful for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. So I can thirst after. Okay? Go ahead, Katria.
I could pretty much guarantee you that nobody is doing this type of study that we're doing. And we're learning so much about our history, learning so much about our culture, learning so much about our creator, learning so much about our kings. Because we ain't finished yet. I mean, everybody wasn't like King David. Well, we're going to learn about human nature. We already learned about human nature, just like you were talking about sex, with King David's son. He's so infatuated with his sister, he's blind. He thinks he loves her, but all he wanted was sex. And once he got the sex, then he hated her.
He didn't want her no more.
Right.
He didn't want her no more.
And he shamed her, which happens every day to our sisters in the Western world we live in. The brother just wants sex with her, and then he puts her away.
And when he gets you,
and then she feels that thing.
Right. And how do you think, why do you think these sisters are being treated in such a despicable manner? Because when they put themselves out there and required no other obligation or commitment, you think he going to have respect for you like that?
And if one brother does it and then another brother does it, then they lose respect for all brothers.
Right. And yeah. So you think everybody's the same, sisters. Every man ain't the same. Brothers, every woman ain't the same. Because you ain't met every woman, and certainly, sisters, you ain't met every man. So use that blanket indictment for men and women, saying all women are like this or all men are like that. You ain't met all the men or all the women in the world. So stop that. You met the ones that you attract because of the way you act. You met the ones you attract because of the way you act. And stop acting the way you act, and you'll stop attracting those that you attract. Cause and effect is just that simple. Well, Cottrell, my dear brother and friend, we're finna get ready to get out of here. I don't know what, well, we don't know, Cottrell, and I don't know where y'all are going, but we know this for a certainty. You're finna get ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People study show with Cottrell and I as your lead students. We're all students. And we're happy to bring to you the word of Yah from a bird's eye view to give you a perspective from him and also how to interact with him in or with each other. Certainly that is the case as far as love is concerned. And with strangers, different nations. We love you. May the Most High bless you. And this is in dedication to love and to the Staples Singers, Purvis Staples. May the Most High bless you. We love you. And let's do it again. Shalom. Good night.
Thank you. do it again, do it again.